Hey, this is Gabriel with NARAL Pro-Choice Ohio. This is our second iTunes podcast episode of The Morning After. We're on iTunes. You can tell your friends to find our podcast at bit.ly. It's a bit.ly link. bit.ly/NARAL podcast. All one word, lowercase. Thanks to everybody that listened to us last week. We did the taco and beer challenge. I broke one of my own rules about podcast of don't chew in the microphone. So I promise everybody that's listening, future episodes will not include me chomping tacos into the microphone. This week, Jamie, Randy, and I discuss Ohio's Down syndrome abortion ban bill, including coverage in the New York Times, the LA Times, Fox News, and CNN. We'll discuss Ohio Right to Life's support for Senator Marco Rubio. Ohio Right to Life hosted the Republican presidential candidate after he made extreme remarks on abortion without exception. Kasich says he supports rape, incest, and life of the mother exceptions, but none of the bills that he signed seem to have these. So we'll look into that. We're going to talk about the jerks near the campus of The Ohio State University who hung the rapey banners on move-in day. Despicable. We'll give out the That's What She Said Award and the Walk of Shame Award. Finally, in our Let's Get It On segment, we invite you to join us this weekend in Toledo for Pride. NARAL's The Morning After is a production of NARAL Pro-Choice Ohio. Find links to all of our social media on our website, prochoiceohio.org. Enjoy the show. Hi, I'm Gabe.
I'm Randy.
And I'm Jamie.
And we're back for another episode of NARAL's The Morning After. So we had a lot going on in the media this week.
Yeah, take 2 days off and like the whole world changes.
I know. Yeah, welcome back. So the New York Times ran an article reporting on Ohio's Down syndrome bill, House Bill 135. They ran that on Sunday, and they interviewed our executive director, Kelly Copeland. She was talking about the Down syndrome bill, saying that this is interference with a medical decision following a complicated diagnosis. For us, it comes down to who makes the decision and who is going to have to live with it, not knowing the family and the circumstances. The legislature can't possibly take into account all the factors involved. Mm-hmm, do you guys think that's a pretty accurate assessment?
Well, yeah.
Yes.
If we didn't, I think we wouldn't be working here. But, right. But no, I think it's right on that. This bill will do nothing to actually help families raising children with Down syndrome or any other intellectual disability or physical disability for that matter. And in fact, we actually tried to introduce four separate amendments when it was going through the committee process to do paid maternity leave, to, you know, make sure that, you know, special ed funding was secure, because according to Innovation Ohio, we're short like $3 million a year on special ed funding. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this bill is all about policing women's healthcare decisions and does absolutely nothing to help people with disabilities. It's a complete sham.
Exactly. There was a woman, you probably remember, well, no, you guys both were there, when they were having testimony on this bill, and there was, I can't remember her name, but she was a young lady who has bipolar disorder and came and testified against this bill. Yeah. And basically saying, you know, that, you know, her life, because she has this mental disorder and this disability, it's been harder, but she was very thankful that, you know, she had a family that was able to, you know, help her along with her disabilities, and they had the resources so that she could become a productive citizen and live a healthy life. And, you know, basically her stance was that if you are forcing families who are not equipped and have decided, you know, I'm not mentally or financially or spiritually equipped to take on a child with disabilities, but now I have no choice. Mm-hmm. That's not a good situation for that child. That's not a good situation for them to have to go into. And this family, you know, you didn't have a choice on, you know, whether you were going to be able to take care of them, because it's a lot of money, you know, taking care of a child with disabilities. And also it's a mental and spiritual, you know, not everyone can do that. And if you recognize that, you know, this is not something I'm equipped to take on, but you have to anyway, it's not going to be a good situation for you or the child. No. Right. And we haven't given them the resources because we already were sued, Ohio, yeah. because they don't give enough resources for special education. You see, in Georgia, my home state, is getting sued because they have stances where they were like separating the kids with disabilities. They're just getting not equal, of mm-hmm. course, and subpar education. Because they had disabilities. So we don't make it, you know, we need to focus on making things better for the children with disabilities who are already here.
Right. Yeah. The New York Times followed up the article with an editorial agreeing with your point. The editorial board said it's hard to imagine any other circumstance in which Americans would tolerate this sort of government intrusion. But of course, this is precisely the dilemma that opponents of the right to choose aim to create, instilling guilt and fear in women making intensely personal and private decisions about their own bodies.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, and the main point there too is, so the bill says that if the doctor knows that the woman's only reason for terminating the pregnancy is because of a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. So what does that bill encourage? It encourages women to not tell their doctors all of their medical history.
Yes.
You know, when you're going in for any medical procedure, the communication between you and your medical provider is critical to make sure that everything is done to keep you safe and you healthy and, you know, to protect you. So here we have the Ohio legislature encouraging women to hide secrets from their doctors
right.
when going for a medical procedure, which is the exact opposite. And, mm-hmm. you know, of course, we go back to this time and time again. The person pushing this bill is also the vice president of our state medical board. So you have the vice president, Mike Anadakis, of the state medical board, who's also the president of Ohio Right to Life, pushing a bill to stop patients from communicating with their doctors, which is just so ridiculous. I really don't have anything else to say about it.
Exactly. Right.
And Kelly said as much later that week. So after the New York Times article came out and fueled by the editorial, a whole host of local and national news outlets started to pick up on this. Mm-hmm. Including Fox News, who interviewed Kelly, and one of her quotes spoke to that point exactly. She said, "We have to make it clear to Governor Kasich that this is not good health care. This is not what the people of Ohio want. This ban would encourage patients to keep information from their doctors, and that is bad medicine." The response to that was Mike Anadakis, the head of Ohio Right to Life, saying that he's 100% confident that the governor will sign this bill. So, you know, really big media. And then today, this is Thursday, we're recording this August 27th, the LA Times released an editorial as well. So we've got the New York Times and the LA Times.
From coast to coast.
Opposing the bill. They said, in reality, a woman's motivation is immaterial. Supreme Court rulings have guaranteed a woman's right to an abortion for any reason up to the point at which the fetus is viable outside the womb. What's more, by criminalizing the behavior of doctors, these laws have a chilling effect on the relationship between physicians and their patients and would likely discourage a woman from having a frank conversation about her decision.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what's so critical. You know, we talk about all of these restrictions, really, when you even go back to like parental consent laws where a minor has to get the consent of their parents. Mm-hmm. Of course, we encourage open, honest conversations between, you know, all parties involved to figure out what's best for you and your family. But by legislating that conversation through parental consent or legislating against that discussion through this bill, it just shows the contempt that these people have for women making these decisions. It's not about protecting anyone. It's about shaming, like they said, it's about shaming women trying to get a medical procedure and stopping them from getting access to the healthcare they need.
Right. So following up on the news articles, there was an op-ed published on CNN.com from a father. He has a child that has Down syndrome. He absolutely, you know, you can tell from how he's talking about his kid. He loves his child. He loves his family. Absolutely opposes this bill.
And in his op-ed, he says, here's the most frustrating thing for me. There is so much to complain about regarding our prenatal testing regime, the way we talk about Down syndrome, stigma against all kinds of people with disabilities, the lack of educational and employment opportunities for people with disabilities, and more. There's lots of work to do. The best way to get people to choose to carry a fetus with Down syndrome to term is to make the words Down syndrome less scary. That's hard. It's not politically useful. So instead, we've got bills like House Bill 135 in Ohio.
Yes.
So
I mean, he is the nail right on the head.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to just criminalize these things rather than do any critical thinking about what would really stop fetuses with Down syndrome being aborted, and what would, you know, bring, which abortions have already come down over the years anyway, but they don't think about, and to them, they think it's because of abstinence only education, which we all know is not true. But they don't, that's the thing. They just think that we should, anything that you don't agree with, we're just going to criminalize it, and that's somehow supposed to make it better, rather than taking a step back and thinking about, well, why is this happening in the first place? And to think that the fact that we don't give enough resources to children with disabilities and their families is not a factor is ridiculous. I mean, yes, it's crazy.
And they've had the opportunity to do so, yes, in the committee hearing when this bill got voted, got its first vote. There were amendments from the Democratic ranking, yes, member, mm-hmm, to ask the state of Ohio to give families more money. And when they choose to, you, mm-hmm, know, to raise a child, exactly, with Down syndrome. That amendment was tabled.
Exactly.
The committee chair refused, yeah, to even let them vote on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, how does that make any type of sense to say we're going to force women to have these babies? They're going to need, you know, resources because, you know, it depends. Down syndrome's on a spectrum, so they can need a number of many things. Mm-hmm. But just to say that you're not, we're going to make you do this and we're not going to help you pay for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Representative Derrickson, the chair of the committee, I mean, he opens every committee hearing with prayer.
Yes.
He's an openly Christian guy. Uh-huh. And he tabled this amendment preventing, mm-hmm, the state from giving resources to these families.
Yes.
I don't know what Jesus he prays to. It's not the same one that I do. So,
yeah.
I mean,
So we've been taking on this bill. Kelly gets our That's What She Said award for the week. She was speaking to WCPO and straight up said of John Kasich, he is a phony. Kasich pretends to be a moderate, but his extreme record shows a complete disrespect for the law of the land and for women's health. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was Kelly's quote. Way to go, Kelly. It does look like the House wants to pass this bill. Ganadakis is saying that he expects it to hit the governor's desk before Thanksgiving, mm-hmm, of this year, of 2015. And he says, as we quoted earlier, he 100% expects Kasich to sign it.
Yeah, mm-hmm, and then Kasich signed everything else they put on his, right, on his, yeah, desk, so why should he not, right, sign this one? Which shows how moderate John Kasich is, you know?
Right.
How Right to Life says jump, and he goes, how high? Yeah. Definitely not a moderate. So, you know, he's out on the campaign trail playing this I'm a moderate dude, and his supporters are back here in Ohio saying, he's done everything we've asked him to do. He's awesome. So, yeah, I mean, they've even started sending Kasich email alerts out, fundraising for his presidential campaign, saying that he's one of the most pro-life governors Ohio's ever had. Well, yeah, he signed more anti-choice bills into law than any other governor in our history. So,
right,
not a moderate.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
So, yeah.
Many bills, no exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. He talks about how Roe's the law of the land and he believes in rape and incest exceptions, but his actions prove absolutely the opposite.
Exactly.
So, but is John Kasich the only presidential candidate that Ohio Right to Life has been loving on recently?
All of them are scary.
They are all scary.
I'm scared.
And they were almost all in town last weekend.
Right.
The Americans for Prosperity had their big, huge, right, hootenanny, mm-hmm, down at the...
Oddly enough, Kasich was not there.
Yeah.
Marco Rubio was there.
Mm-hmm.
And Ohio Right to Life threw an event featuring him and, mm-hmm, just praised him up and down. Ohio Right to Life loves Marco Rubio.
I mean, he's our favorite. No abortion, no exceptions. I mean,
right, right.
It's what they're for.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Right. Kasich said that he believes in exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother, although he's never asked for them and he signed bills without them.
Yes. Exactly.
But he's making these phony baloney statements. Marco Rubio, on the other hand, says that he doesn't want to see any exceptions.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then he gets this big Ohio Right to Life event and the pat on the back and all the Twitter photos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot possibly think that he can go anywhere having that stance. I mean, seriously, like, who is his campaign manager? Who is his policy person?
You're referring to Kasich?
No, Rubio.
To Rubio, okay.
Like, you cannot possibly think that at this day and age, that having a stance like that, you would actually go anywhere in a general... Like, did any of these guys actually want to win a general election? Like, honestly, because they don't act like they... Like, politically, mm-hmm. you just can't be that way and think that all of a sudden, when next summer rolls around, you're going to be able to go back and say, oh, just kidding, I didn't mean any of those things I said earlier.
Shake the etch-a-sketch.
I'm really a moderate person, and you guys should totally, mm-hmm. even though that's what they're going to try to do, and say you guys should totally vote for me because, mm-hmm. you know, I only said that because, you know... people over there, I have to, so, but I don't really believe that. Like, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, Quinnipiac just did an Ohio poll and they asked the abortion question and it was like 53% said legal in all or most cases. So the vast majority of Ohioans are pro-choice and believe abortion should be accessible in all or most situations, but only 13% were in that category of illegal and everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're definitely playing up to a distinct minority.
I think nationwide is probably around the same percentage. Like, mm-hmm. it might go up to 20. I don't know.
Even when there's just that small percentage, all of these organizations, like Ohio Right to Life and everything, that's what they believe.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it is not, you know, the standard belief that there should be exceptions for rape or incest or exceptions for the health and the life of the woman. It should be, you know, in some cases, a very narrow life exemption such that if, you know, she's about to die, we might be able to save her life. But mm-hmm. that's all they believe in. So,
exactly.
you know, when these people are giving money to these organizations and mm-hmm. supporting the efforts of these organizations, they're supporting beliefs that the majority of their supporters probably don't even believe in.
Exactly. Like Mike Huckabee, what he wants to use the 14th Amendment.
Yeah, to bring the army in. Yeah.
To protect, it's like, which was originally used to protect black people, like, how about we actually use it to protect black people first and then we'll use it to protect fetuses.
I can't picture Huckabee saying that without him having the, what's he play, guitar or is mm-hmm. it the bass? You know, him strumming away and saying, well, I'd use the 14th Amendment.
Exactly.
Anytime you picture Huckabee, you know, it's like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon where he's, mm-hmm. you know, it's like he's going to have a jug band in the background.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
it totally is.
So exactly. Marco Rubio, very extreme. Mm-hmm. John Kasich, secretly extreme. Ohio mm-hmm. Right to Life, very extreme.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So another way that... Ohio Right to Life and Mike Gonadaka showed their extremity was by tweeting at the mayor of Dayton today.
Oh, yes, they did. Because, yay, Dayton wants to implement paid maternity leave.
That's great.
In their city. Yes, it is great.
That's awesome.
It's something that we need, but... I mean, strangely enough, usually that side is not for mm-hmm. some reason, because why do you need to spend time with the baby after you have it? I mean...
it's here. We don't care anymore.
Yeah, exactly. We only wanted you to have it. Like, who mm-hmm. cares if you guys have an actual healthy relationship? And so I was actually reading an article the other day, which was not funny. It's actually quite sad, about paid maternity leave. And I believe it is, what were the two places? Oh, yes, the United States, Swaziland in Africa, and Papua New Guinea. And what do we all three have in common? None of those places have paid maternity leave.
You're saying those are the only three countries?
The only three industrialized countries, first world countries, mm-hmm. That don't have any type of paid maternity, like federal paid maternity leave.
Right.
Swaziland and Papua New Guinea.
That's a great list to be on.
I know, right? So this article was talking about women, basically women who like do retail or fast food or, you know, a number of low income jobs that don't have any maternity leave, that had to go back to work like within 2 weeks. It was so sad. This one woman was speaking. She was a waitress and saying that she would go home after working like a 12-hour day and just lay her arm across her baby because that's the only connection she could get because she had to go back to work like a week after he was born.
That's not even enough time to medically recover. I mean, it's not like having a baby is like going into a shopping center and, you know, picking one up off a shelf and going back home with it. I mean, it's a medical, even if you have a natural birth, it's a medical process. I mean, I was reading one of my friends on Facebook who had a baby last year was talking about how, you know, it takes like 6 weeks for the uterus to return to its normal size and settle back down in the pelvis. Mm-hmm. So that's 6 weeks of like medical time that should at least be off.
Yeah.
You know, so the fact that they're going back, I mean, what kind of medical impact does that have on your body for the rest of your life when you're going back a week after to a job where you're probably on your feet 10 to 12 hours a day?
Mm-hmm. It's got serious implications for the health of the mother. It's got serious implications for the health of the child. Exactly. It's a key factor in infant mortality reduction. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 6 weeks is exactly what the mayor of Dayton, Nan Whaley, is extending to her employees, to city employees. And Mike Ganadakis tweets at her and says, "Who's going to pay for that?" That's the Ohio business. Right to Life's official stance on paid maternity leave is now.
I don't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's his take.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure when you buy a product from a company that gives paid maternity leave, you as a consumer are purchasing that product. So that's how the world kind of works. You as a consumer pay for something that the company believes in. And frankly, with all their talk about how, you know, tax dollars shouldn't go to abortion because they don't believe in us, against their moral beliefs and blah, blah, blah. For them to turn around and say, "I don't want my taxpayer dollars going to pay new moms to be on maternity leave for 6 weeks, and not even 12. I mean, 12 is kind of the base minimum. I mean, European countries give people like a year off.
Yeah. So there was this article that I saw on Ebony. It was the cover, and it said on the back of it, it said America, America loves black people. But then they had like scratched out black people and said America loves black culture. I would say that America loves mommy culture, but we don't actually love mothers because we don't do anything to help you. We're all like, "Oh, mother, if you're a mother, we just bow to you. God bless you. That's the hardest job in the world. You're just doing something so amazing." But we don't put our money where our mouth is. No. We don't do anything to help you. No resources, no time off. And it's ridiculous. And we're like one of the only countries besides, you know, Swaziland, Papua New Guinea, that don't help women. And it's like, who can really take care of a brand new baby? You have to go back to work like 2 or 3. And even the 6 weeks is awesome. That's an awesome start. I'm glad that, you know, they're doing that. But I mean, that's just like, that's the least you could get.
Yeah.
But some people aren't getting anything. Mm-hmm. And so again, it's like, we love motherhood and think it's awesome, but we do nothing for you.
Well, on the same end with fathers too. You know, Ohio Right to Life did that whole stupid billboard campaign in Cleveland chastising black men for not being good fathers. That fatherhood starts in the womb and all those things, because of course, you know, every black man runs away from the woman he impregnates.
Exactly.
Which is so not true again. But like, so we do the same thing on that end too. You know, we say that fathers should be involved with their kids and should be taking care of their women, you know, the woman while she's pregnant and when the baby gets there, and he may get a day. He might get the one day that she delivers, and then they're going back to work again.
If he takes it off of work.
Yes, exactly. Right. So, yeah, the matter is, we treat all parents like shit, and then we tell everybody that they should be good parents, and we, you know.
Why aren't more people having kids? Like, people ask me that all the time. It's like, why would I want to have one here? You don't give me any. You don't give me any time off. You don't help with like classes to help with infant mortality, to give like new mommy classes or whatnot. I mean, the schools I'm going to talk about the charter schools in Ohio. So you're asking like young people, why are they waiting to have kids? Why are you waiting to get married? Why are you waiting to buy a house? All of these things. And because how are we supposed to do that? How are you supposed to do it and still live?
You're supposed to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, there,
Randy.
How am
I supposed to make a $700 mortgage payment and I got a $300 student loan payment too? Like it's
it's
ridiculous. I know. I just pull myself up by my bootstraps.
Hope you have boots.
Yeah, hope you have boots.
My daycare bill was more than my mortgage.
Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. I mean, yes, daycare. Yeah. I had no idea how expensive daycare was until
it's very expensive. Let me tell you.
Yes, I know now. It is ridiculously expensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes. I can't imagine. I mean, how are you? So now you're going to pay your mortgage, daycare, student loan, car payment, car insurance, health insurance. I mean, who can afford? And you're only making like what, $40,000, $50,000 a year? If you're making that much, you're a lucky person. Okay. Who's going to pay for paid maternity leave in Dayton? We don't know. So therefore they shouldn't do it. Like, okay, Mike Gonadakis.
Yeah. To add to the ridiculousness, that's my segue. So there were these nationwide protests at Planned Parenthood over the weekend.
I heard about that.
So, yeah.
Because standing on the sidewalk does anything.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that should be the theme of this week's podcast.
Standing the 500, on the sidewalk.
The 500 things that Right to Life people do that absolutely don't help anything.
Yeah.
They stood on a sidewalks mostly outside of either closed abortion clinics because, like, the one in Columbus isn't open on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So they stood outside of an empty building. A lot of them were actually at, Planned Parenthood clinics that just provide preventive care, birth control, pap smears, breast exams, those kinds of things.
They were protesting cancer screening locations.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. So they were protesting birth control and cancer screenings, showing their true colors, talking about how, you know, these false videos show that they should be defunded. We had a couple of really amazing groups of grassroots activists. We didn't organize it. Planned Parenthood didn't organize it. A group in Columbus, the Sassy Sexism Smashers.
Say that five times.
Yeah, exactly.
Sassy Sexism Smashers. Thank you.
Yes. And then the Dayton Women's Rights Alliance in Dayton both did some small counter protests just to make sure that there were people out there, especially in Dayton, because Dayton was, number one, a birth control clinic, and number two, open that day, just to make sure that patients knew that there were people out there that supported them and their healthcare decisions.
They were not engaging.
No.
The jerks. Even, they were just showing support.
Yeah, so they stood, actually in Columbus, they stood across the street at a crisis pregnancy center and protested the crisis pregnancy center.
Yay!
But I think what it really showed in the counter-protests really showed was that how they really disrespect anybody making a healthcare decision. I mean, there's actually a video, one of the protesters... So, you know, in the whole anti-choice movement, there's, you know, the groups like Ohio Right to Life and those kind of more mainstream that interact with government and those kinds of things. And then you've got Created Equal, who, you know, are the ones who put the big, huge bloody fetus signs everywhere and are the more extreme kind of groups. And they usually don't see eye to eye. And so at one of the protests somewhere, it wasn't Ohio, they had kind of both groups of protesters. So they had the ones with the, you know, we love you signs, women make a different decision, kind of more positive signs. And then the more Created Equal kind of people, actually it was the abolish human abortion people, the AHA people, who are even more extreme than Created Equal.
Are there? Okay.
And so like one of them came over because one of the, you know, more mainstream protesters came over to the AHA protesters because they were just screaming horrific things about how women should be tried for first degree murder for having an abortion. And try to engage him in a conversation. And the vitriol that the AHA protester threw at the other anti-choice protester for just not agreeing with their position that women should be tried for first-degree murder was ridiculous. So, you know, these are the kind of people that were out there. They had no intent on actually impacting anything, but right. making a big, huge fuss about things. They say they had like 1,000 people out at Columbus. Our people say that it was probably more like 100 or 200. The news report said a couple hundred. So they, of course, blew their numbers up. But, you know.
It drives me nuts. Every time there's an event of any variety, how many people were there becomes like a big thing that folks argue about. I'm like, that doesn't really matter.
No.
Well, and frankly, at a lot of, actually in Texas, they even didn't even protest the Planned Parenthood. They protested another independent abortion provider with protest Planned Parenthood signs, which was hilarious.
Well, you know, many people don't understand exactly what Planned Parenthood is in terms of being an organization.
Yeah.
You know, some people think that every abortion provider is a Planned Parenthood. Yeah. That's not the case. Mm-hmm. Some people, because they hear about the government defunding Planned Parenthood, think that Planned Parenthood's a government organization.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were trying to figure out the history of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Lima, Ohio, and called the Allen County Department of Health and said, you know, do you know anything about Planned Parenthood? And they said, oh, hold on, let me transfer you. And they transferred the call over to their local, clinic, like the local Allen County, you know, free health clinic, the health center there, thinking that, you know, this is the same thing, that somebody's asking about Planned Parenthood, and that's, you know, it's like all tissues are Kleenex. They just, oh, here's
a health center.
Yeah, here's what we direct.
At least they directed you to an actual healthcare provider.
You know, they get partial credit, but it's not the same thing.
No.
So hearing that protesters on, you know, protest Planned Parenthood Day were at a independently owned and operated abortion facility.
Well, it's just proves they don't really care what they're protesting.
No.
They just want to protest. No. It was an opportunity to pull their signs out and be ridiculous and
misinformed people.
And our escorts at all these clinics are like, it was just like any other Saturday. Like these people, it might have been a couple more people, but you know, these are the people who come out and shame these women in front of these clinics every single week.
Right.
So really, so many of them are going, oh, protest Planned Parenthood Day, or like the rest of us call it, any other Saturday in front of the clinic. So, you know, it doesn't just happen then and will continue to happen. And We'll keep an eye on it, because what we're seeing is that the rhetoric is getting stronger. You know, they keep releasing these false videos, and the mainstream media isn't paying attention to it, and nobody else is really paying attention to it. And they failed to defund Planned Parenthood at the federal level because they couldn't get the 60 votes they needed. And, you know, I think some of these, you know, more rigid anti-choice activists are starting to be like, but come on, do something.
Right.
So, you know, we're definitely keeping an eye on it and are seeing a lot more threats against providers and those guys and things again. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yay.
Ooh, on to even better, more exciting, enlightening, heartwarming issues.
Yeah. From dumb to dumber.
Yes.
The walk of shame this week doesn't go to those protesters. It actually goes to a bunch of idiots who live, I believe, on Lane Avenue
off the
Ohio State's campus. A bunch of assholes that hung bed sheets outside their house, off of their porch, on the day that Ohio State students were moving in. And the bed sheets read something to the effect of freshman daughter drop off. Mm-hmm. Hey, dads, bring your daughter here. We'll take care of her. Yeah. Horrible.
Drop off mom, too.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That was Old Dominion.
Old Dominion.
Yes.
So
but
they
along
were,
the same lines. Yes.
Yes. This apparently is a small trend of idiots nationwide that, you know, felt it to be appropriate to do this. It got a pretty big, you know, a set of reports in national media. Somebody took a can of spray paint to the house on OSU's campus and spray painted fuck rape culture.
Dunkin' graffiti, but that was pretty good.
That was pretty good. But, you know, these were horrible. I don't think there's any excusing them.
No.
No.
You know, these guys are assholes. They're getting our Walk of Shame award.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's my take on it. it reminds me of Donald Sterling, the former owner of the LA Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
And he made his statements to his girlfriend about how she shouldn't be seen with Magic Johnson, who's like the most lovable basketball player ever, because he didn't want her seen with a black person. He didn't want her photographed with a black person.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, rightly so, was up in arms about how he's a horrible racist.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it made his team mad. It made Americans mad. Yeah. It made the league mad. It made me mad. But I thought, you know, this is like, we should all be condemning this, but this is like the easiest thing in the world to condemn.
Yeah.
Because
it's
so obvious.
Complete, you know, blatant racist.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to spot the blatant racism. Mm-hmm. With these jerks and the banners, it's really easy to spot the blatant sexism. I mean, this is like textbook definition rape culture to the point where they're literally waving a flag saying, hey, we're rapists. And I almost think if we put together legislation that said, if you're a potential rapist, you have to hang a sign outside your apartment, that bill would be condemned by a whole lot of people. But here's what these guys are doing. They're waving a flag that says, hey, don't come here. We're rapists.
Yeah. Exactly.
Maybe they're not literally rapists, but, you know, they're contributing to rape culture. You know, this is not a safe place for women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If everybody waved a flag that said this is not a safe place for women, they'd kind of be owning it.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
Yeah. I don't know if it was like Yale or Princeton. I want to link that the guys were like going down chanting no means yes and yes means anal.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so but like you said,
was a frat, and I think the frat got you know, rightfully punished by the school.
Yeah,
exactly. But it's at the same time, the point that you make is kind of like, oh, Greek life promotes rape culture. Like, I don't think that's something that it's kind of like when the whole thing happened with Donald Sterling, and I was talking to Adam about it, he was like, oh, yeah, a 70-year-old rich white guy is racist. Like, that's news.
Yeah,
shocker. Right. But exactly. So, I mean, I'm sure there's many other owners who have said other things, which I think, you know, there was come out of some guy with emails or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's kind of like, okay, who didn't think that anyway? Mm-hmm. It just, they were keeping it under wraps, but we know how they really feel.
Right.
And
whereas the real threat on race is systematic problems.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
the real threat on rape culture is, you know,
quiet underlying.
Yes. It's, you know, it's that women statistically are more likely to be raped by somebody they know.
Yeah.
It's not the random guy down the street.
Exactly.
They're not going to jump out of the bushes. It's that, you know, women are going to, you know, be at a party with some guy, you know, somebody that they're familiar with. And that's when the assault will occur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the greater danger. It's not the jerks with the banners.
And the jerks with the banners at least got some attention. Well, unfortunately, they're reveling in their attention. I think the quote in the local TV news was something like, you know, we're proud of what we did. That's why they're getting our walk of shame this week.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, it's, you know, them walking down the street and catcalling women every day, because I'm sure these guys probably do that on a daily basis as well.
No doubt.
But, you know, so it's all those little things that add up to, you know, what it really is. That was a blatant show of what rape culture is.
Yeah.
But there were probably 100 to 500 other instances of the exact same thing that were not called out, and people got away with on that same day. Probably at OSU was, I think, like 8,000 students moved in. So,
Right. It's everywhere. It's not like when I was going to University of Georgia, which is a notorious party school, we have a huge Greek life culture there. And I remember like going to a party there one time, and the guy just like out there blatantly, he was like, oh, you know, I'd really like to fuck a black girl. And I was like, what? Like, no. But that's how they talk. That's how, that's what they think. And that is the whole mindset that is there. So again,
they need to be called out for it.
Yeah.
For sure.
And, you know, taking down the signs and is good, but they're still going to have that same attitude. They need to be really educated and taught, like, why, you know, rape culture and sexism and misogyny is bad for men, just like it's bad for women, just like racism is bad for everybody else, just as bad as it is for minorities. Like,
Yeah.
That's what people have to be educated on, and they don't realize. Mm-hmm. And then, and it's kind of hard sometimes as well, because as Gabe's saying, it's like systems. It's not, and I think when you talk about like sexism, racism, homophobia, people, when you talk about things like that, people sometimes like have a tendency to be like, oh, well, all those other people, not me, because I'm not one. So mm-hmm. therefore, I don't need to do anything to fix it because I'm not the one mm-hmm. like perpetuating it. And it's like, no, that's not really what yeah. it is. It's like, again, mm-hmm. I mean, right. the fact that you're simply a man, that doesn't mean you get some type of check in the mail that we don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just means that's not what it means. But I think a lot of people don't recognize that, and they need to be educated.
So the takeaway from this is the people who have the rape talk with their daughters before they go to school need to have the rape talk with their sons before right. they go to school
exactly.
as well.
Right. Yeah.
For sure.
And hopefully an appropriate punishment will be that these guys have their names smeared all over the internet yeah. to the point that anytime that they apply for a job, this is going to come up in yeah. you know, an HR department's Google search.
Yeah.
yeah.
Have fun explaining this.
Yeah. Exactly.
And how you're proud of it, because right. that's what they said. So ready.
Yeah. Let's get it on. Okay. Probably not a good thing.
Consensually.
That we're talking about. Let's consensually get it on.
This week's Let's Get It On segment is?
Yes. Toledo. Obviously, you know, we've been talking about Toledo a lot. A lot of things are going on in Toledo, especially with ProMedica there and trying to get the agreements. And so Annie, my northern counterpart, has been there a lot. They had a really awesome community meeting this past Monday, and 35 people came out. Toledo Pride is this Saturday, so please stop by. I'm sure they could use help, you know, manning the booth and talking to people and getting people to sign petitions. Or we also have the, you know, if you're not in the Toledo area, we have the petition up online. You can go to www.prochoiceohio.org and you can sign it there to show your support, which would be really great. I think we had like almost 750 so far.
Yes.
So I want to get, you know, in the thousands.
Yep.
So please go on and sign, tell your friends. You can share it on Facebook to go and sign, to get more involved. We don't have anything coming up right on the horizon here in Columbus, but we are recruiting for the Hot Times Festival that's going to be here from September 11th through the 13th, and we'll be out there all 3 days, and we definitely need people to come out and help us do similar things like we did with Pride and ComFest. We'll be out talking to people and getting petition signed and selling buttons, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, good music and food there. So you can come by, and you can sign up for all of these things at volunteer@prochoice.org.
ProChoice Ohio.
ProChoiceOhio.org.
Volunteer@prochoiceohio.org.
Okay. Awesome. Cool. Well, that's about it for the week, I guess.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.